Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. You know, this month we're going to be starting a really, really needed series on a very important topic, one that's debated and discussed quite a bit, but it really all boils down to a single question that you can ask multiple ways. You know, can a person really have assurance of eternal life? Can I lose my salvation if I sin? You know, either way you ask it, you're really asking, does God save and keep you eternally? And this morning, Pastor Reynolds will be getting into that very topic on a series that's going to take us through at least to the end of December. So as we're starting, you can turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 as we turn the broadcast over to Pastor Reynolds.
Can a believer, a real believer, ever be lost? I think there's a lot of controversy among the people of God on this point. But notice what the book of Romans chapter number 8 and verse 38 and 39 states. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the inspired answer to the question of verse 35. The Bible says in this place, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That is, once we have been justified by faith, who is there? What place is there? What power is there that can separate us from the love of Christ? And the answer? How full, how clear this answer is. There can be no shadow of a doubt about what the answer is. The apostle says that neither death nor life can possibly separate. Can you think of anything else that can separate us? There is nothing at all. Neither death nor life can possibly separate us from the love of Christ. No unseen powers can separate the believer from Christ. The Bible states, neither angels, nor principalities, nor powers. These terms are used again and again in the New Testament. When our Savior arose from the dead, He spoiled principalities and powers. That is, He defeated all the host of evil led by Satan. There is nothing that any angel could ever do to separate us from the love of Christ. And then, Romans 8 states, neither things present nor things to come. Again, let me put the question, can you think of any experience through which a believer might ever go, which is neither a thing present nor a thing to come? The Holy Spirit says that neither things present nor things that come shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ. As though that were not enough, he speaks in a more general way when he says that neither height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It looks to me as if we are safe if we are true believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But really, what does eternal security really mean? When we speak of the eternal security of the believer, we mean that once a poor sinner has been regenerated by the work and the Spirit of God, once this poor sinner has received a new life and a new nature, and he has been made partaker of the divine nature, once this poor sinner has been justified from every charge before the throne of God, it is absolutely impossible that man should ever again be a lost soul. Having said that, let me say what we do not mean when we speak of eternal security of the believer. First of all, we do not mean that it was necessary that if one professes to be saved, if he comes out in front in the meeting and shakes the preacher's hand and says he accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior, that man is eternally saved. You see, it does not mean that if one joins a church or makes a profession of faith, is baptized, and takes a continual interest in Christian work, that that person is forever secure. I'm not saying that just because one manifests certain gifts and exercises these gifts in spiritual testimony, that that person is necessarily eternally secure. Think of this scripture. The book of Matthew 7, verse 21 through verse 23. The Bible states here, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Listen, such people may have been very active in what is called Christian work. Some people may have preached. Some people may have cast out demons. That is, their influence has been such that men and women have found deliverance from satanic power through their ministrations in the name of Jesus. They have professed with their lips. They have accomplished many wonderful works, but they are found wanting in the day of judgment. They are found among the lost. And when they plead their great activity and their earnestness in Christian testimony, the Lord says to them, "I never knew you." Notice, he does not say, Christ does not say to them, "I used to know you, but you have now forfeited my favor and I do not know you any longer." No, he does not say that. Jesus Christ says, "I never knew you." Who are the sheep that we really are talking about? In the book of John 10, verse 27 through 30, the Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Of his own, he says, "I know them." Of all these others, in spite of all of their activity, in spite of all of their accomplishments, Jesus Christ says in the day of judgment, "I never knew you." This is a very, very solemn thing. This answers a question that is frequently put to us. The question is this: suppose a man joined the church. He professed to be saved, who for a number of years was a very active Christian worker, perhaps a Sunday school teacher, perhaps an elder or a deacon in the church. Maybe this man was a minister. But after some years of apparent consistent Christian living and helpfulness and testimony, he turns his back on it all, returns to the world, repudiates Christianity, and now denies in total the gospel he once professed. Some people will say, "How does that square with your doctrine of eternal security of the believer?" Frankly, that does not even touch the matter at all. The Apostle John tells us how we are to understand a case like that. In the book of 1 John 2 and verse number 19, the Bible says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." Think of the man Judas in this case. He followed Christ. He was an apostle. He did all kinds of miracles and wonders and signs, but the man was lost. You see, it is quite possible for a person to join a church, to make a Christian profession. It is quite possible to observe the Christian ordinances, teach and to preach, and yet never be born again. if one teaches and preaches the truth, it will produce good results and will do men good, whether the teacher or the preacher be real or not. For it is the truth that God uses. Of course, God can use the truth to better advantage when it's proclaimed by a holy man living to the glory of God, rather than when it's proclaimed by a hypocrite. Nevertheless, God uses His truth, regardless of who may proclaim it. And that explains how people may do mighty works in the name of Christ and yet never be born again. When we say that a believer in Christ is eternally secure, we base it upon a number of lines of scriptural testimony. In the first place, we rest it on the perfection of Christ's one offering on the cross of Calvary. Personally, I could never understand how thoughtful people taught by the Holy Spirit of God can carefully read the book of Hebrews and not see that throughout that epistle, the writer is contrasting the many sacrifices offered under law and the one sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Especially to mention this sacrifice, that under the law, every time an Israelite sinned, he needed a new sin offering. And every year, the nation had to celebrate a great day of atonement when a new offering was presented to God for the people. Why? Because those sacrifices could never take away sin. They simply covered sin for the time being. But we are told in Hebrews 10 that when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world and offered himself without spot to God, the effect of his sacrifice was eternal. Verse 14 makes it very clear. Hebrews 10, verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Perfected for how long? For how long? I think it's eternity. Somebody says, as long as they're faithful. No, that is not what the Bible says. He hath perfected forever. Why? Because the sacrifice that Jesus Christ gave is enough to cover their sins. I am sure there will be some who will deny the doctrine of eternal security of the believer because they do not realize that in so doing they are putting a slight upon the finished work of Christ. They are reducing the sacrifice of Christ practically to a level of the offerings of bulls and goats of the Old Testament dispensation. I'm sure some do not mean that, for they love their Lord just as truly as I trust I love Him. And they do not want to really dishonor the Lord Jesus Christ. But some people are afraid of the doctrine of eternal security of the believer. Why? Because they are afraid that this doctrine will lead people to be careless about their lives. And therefore, they stress the possibility of a man losing his salvation after he has been saved and justified by faith. You see, they do not really pursue that thought to its logical conclusion. They do not see that it is a practical denial of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved eternally because the sacrifice of Christ abides eternally.
You know, we pray that this message has been a blessing to you this morning. And if you'd like to talk to us about it in more depth, you can join us for services. We're located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. We'll be meeting at 10 a.m. for Sunday school, 11 a.m. worship services, 3:45 prayer meeting, and 4:30 worship services. Now, if you're not able to come and join us for services, you can also contact us via our website, which is www.independencebaptist.org. And from there, you can email us, but I'd also encourage you to check out the many different books, articles, and audio messages. Well, our time has once again slipped away from us, but we do want to thank you for joining us this morning, and we pray you'll be able to join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.